Tonight, a new speaker, first time on our call, so thankfully he accepted our invitation, Brother Roger Medina. He's a local minister, Spanish-speaking minister for the Church of Christ in College Hill. It is located in the city of Fort Worth, Texas. His topic tonight, God loves you more than you know. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 through 17. Brother Medina, we want to hear this message. It's your time to speak.
Amen. Yes, it's very, very interesting topic. I have asked many, and maybe you're here tonight. We're so thankful that you have taken this opportunity, this time of your day, of your time, to listen to God's word. Now, I want us to think. I want you to ponder on this. What do you know about God's love? I want you to think on that, and how has he manifested his love to you, to your spouse, to your children, to mankind? As we ponder on these questions, you know, there's many things that we can look through the Bible, but there's one book that we really don't consider when we talk about God's love. Now, maybe you think about John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Maybe that's the text that comes to your mind, to your heart. That's one of the texts that we see everywhere. We see on billboards, we see on the side of buses, we see on food chains. We hear about God's love in a lot of ways. Maybe you heard it through an evangelist on TV or on the radio, or like we're doing now today on the telephone. But I really want you to ponder on God's love. You know, it's the prophet Malachi that reveals something important to us and reminds us about God. In Malachi 3:6 says that God does not change. So when we read on 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and on, that God is love, he is the same God of love who did the first covenant with his people in the Old Testament. His attributes don't change. His personality does not change. He is the God of love from beginning till eternity, for he has no end. Now, I want you to think about this. If you have your Bibles, I would like for you to join me in Jonah chapter 1. And the prophet Jonah talks about something interesting. See, if we read briefly, and let me bring something to your attention as well. If I was to ask you, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the prophet Jonah? Maybe it comes to your mind the great fish. Maybe it comes to your mind that Jonah was of a rebellious nature. Maybe it comes to your mind that Jonah was the prophet that we should not imitate, because he did not listen, because he went the opposite direction of God's commandment. Maybe because he was one that was full of anger because of God's nature. You know, something interesting that you find in the book of Jonah is Jonah chapter 4 and verse 2. When Jonah is meditating on why he did what he did in the beginning, was because Jonah understood God's nature. So in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2 says, so he prayed to the Lord and said, oh Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Jonah said, I know. The word there that he's using gives the intention that there is no doubt in my mind that Jonah is saying, Lord, I know, I'm 100% sure who you are and what you were going to do. I want you to ponder on this. Because the question that we have to ask ourselves is, who were the Ninevites? Now, if we read about history, we can spend a lot of time reading and digging into who were the Ninevites. Let me give you a short answer because of time. The Ninevites was the capital to the Assyrians. And the Assyrians were enemies of God's kingdom. And at one time, they were going to come and conquer the northern kingdom. And they were going to come and knock and try to take over the southern kingdom. But God, being the God of love, was not going to allow for his people to perish. Now, I want you to think about this. God is going to teach his people that God is the God of his creation. He is teaching them through the book of Jonah and Jonah himself that God is willing to save even that person that people can say he's not worthy. Have you felt like this before? Maybe you feel like you've sinned so much. Maybe you feel that God cannot forgive you. Maybe you feel like you're not worthy of God's love. Maybe that's been affecting you. Maybe that has been holding you back of doing what God expects for you to do, to respond to his love. Maybe because of that, you feel that you can never be forgiven of whatever you did. So it's important to understand who were the Assyrians, because these were cruel people. When they conquered, they would take out the eyes of their enemies, cut their arms so that it would not be able to attack them. Some of them, they would cut their feet so they would not be able to run away from them. And then that was in the best case scenario. They said that through history, the Assyrians had walls built out of their enemies' heads, all the ones that they decapitated. They said that when they conquered an enemy nation and there was pregnant women, they would open their womb and kill the baby to make sure that that baby is dead, so that no one can come and take vengeance on them. That's who we're talking about. This is the kind of people we're talking about. And yet, God said, they need to know that I love them so that they can change. This is the God that I want to present you with. The God of the Bible is the same God of yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible tells us over and over that God does not change for that reason. Because we need to understand his nature. And now, when you think about Jonah, and you think about how God loves the Assyrians by sending Jonah. Well, maybe we would think, well, who is Jonah? What kind of credentials did he have? What kind of ability did he have? Was he the best guest speaker? Was he an eloquent speaker? Was he someone that can persuade through the words that he said? Jonah was the person that God needed to take to make this nation change their hearts with a message. Now, the power is never on the messenger. The Bible tells us that the messenger is always just a messenger. The power is in the message. So when we think about Jonah, his name meaning dove meaning a peaceful of a spirit, if we were to say. Well, Jonah was straight out the opposite. He was quick to anger. He was quick to judge. He was quick to act and say, Lord, I don't think this is right for us to go to our enemies. But God showed him. Now, when we look at the second books of Kings, 2 Kings chapter 14, when you analyze the scriptures, when you study of who was Jonah, you find that in Jonah, I'm sorry, in 2 Kings chapter 14, First Kings chapter 14, you find that as he explains of what is happening and who Jonah is. Jonah is only mentioned twice, in the First Kings and in the book of Jonah. But in the First Kings, the revelation that is revealed to us is his intent, his ability to talk to people, to those that sometimes we don't want to talk to those who sometimes are hard or just not willing to, or those that are just of a heart that is not pleasing to everyone. But yet Jonah took the time in the reign of Jeroboam the second. Jonah preached to him. And it says in the scriptures that Jeroboam extended the limits of the city, of the kingdom, because he listened to the prophet of the Lord, Jonah. And according to his words, he did an expansion of the kingdom because he was willing to listen and to listen to God. This is Jonah. Jonah can persuade a king like Jeroboam, who was a bad king of the northern kingdom. Could he not then be the person that God said, I need you, Jonah, to go to this people? You know, you're listening tonight, and God has a plan for you. He always makes appointments like these to set you up with the person that's going to tell you exactly what you need to hear so that you can pay attention and clean your heart to the message. If you read chapter 8 of the book of Acts, you find that the eunuch had Philip to be able to come to him. God made that appointment and arranged it so that the eunuch can listen to the message and respond in obedience. If you read Acts chapter 9, you find that Ananias is the person that God chose to go to Saul of Tarsus and to tell him exactly what he needed to hear. See, God makes these arrangements. You're here tonight because there's a purpose. You're here tonight because God arranged this. And maybe Brother Tommy, myself, and others who are involved in all this put it together, but this is God's doing. He wanted you to hear this message. He wants you to know about his love. He wants you to understand who he is. He wants you to understand his nature. He is a merciful and loving God and wants the best for you. But like any parent who loves his children, he has to warn you. Just like he did to the Ninevites, he warned them and he told Jonah, go and preach to them. And this is the message that you will preach. Nineveh will be destroyed in 40 days. That is the full message. Many will think there is no hope in that. Brother, there is no positive thing coming from that message. It is a message to reflect, to meditate. I should ask myself, why? Why is Nineveh going to be destroyed? If I'm a resident of Nineveh, I need to ask myself, why? Am I the problem? have my actions not be corrected? The God of Israel is saying that in 40 days we will be destroyed. When the whole city hears this message, it touched them. And it wasn't something, like I said, that many would consider positive. But it was a message that needed to be said in the way that God arranged it to be said. I want you to think on why Jesus uses the prophet Jonah as an example. Is it just because he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights? And he compares himself to how the Son of Man's going to be away for 3 nights and 3 days and then come back? You know, a lot that we miss is that when Jesus is speaking to an audience, especially when he uses the example of Jonah, it's because he grew up in Nazareth. And when you study where Jonah was born, he was born just south of Nazareth. And because he was south of Nazareth, Jesus had heard this story a lot. It was something that they knew exactly, the prophet Jonah. So Jesus uses an illustration that's very applicable and that they are very well familiarized with. And Jonah was given a second opportunity. You know, we can bring out a lot of lessons through Jonah chapter 1. You know, we see that God loves you more than you can imagine. But another thing that we need to consider is God loves you even when you reject him. Jonah rejected him, and yet God still loved him. Later on in the chapter, you find that God still loves Jonah, even when he's trying to hide his identity. It says that he was in the more deepest part of the ship, sleeping. And when the sailors were afraid for their lives, and they found him sleeping, they said, "Why are you sleeping? Wake up and call out to your God. Maybe he's the one." And Jonah knew. And God still loved him. But see, Jonah had to understand this. It takes time sometimes. Because of our pride, sometimes we can't accept God's love. Sometimes we grew up in maybe it can be the case that you grew up in a tough house, in a broken home. Maybe mom and pops were, you know, mom and dad were just not getting along right. Maybe you didn't have your dad in the home. I grew up in a home when my mom was the only parent I had. I know how hard it can be. I grew up back in the 80s and 90s. I was born in South Central LA. And I grew up around that time. And it wasn't easy. It's never been easy for anyone. We're always facing challenges. And no matter where we're born, something we are faced with. But see, in the times when we rebel, in the times where we misbehave, in the times where we tell God, "I think I can handle my life better," in the times where we say, "I know where I'm going with my life, I want to go to a certain place." You know, when you study Tarsus and you study Nineveh, you looked at Tarsus, at that time, at that point, was a place that Jonah can have, to a certain point, peace. Maybe the pleasures of life. That's where he was going to. He wanted nothing to do with the struggles, with the difficulties of doing God's will, especially when it involves someone that we don't like. He didn't like the Ninevites. He wanted God to destroy them. And he got upset when God showed Jonah over and over his identity, his nature. You know, we find that the scriptures also describe Peter, son of Jonah, in that sense, in that description. Peter was somewhat like Jonah. He couldn't see far more than the Jews. He couldn't see more than what he thought were worthy. Maybe you're a child of God. Can you see the importance of the message being spread? Maybe you're here tonight listening. I want you to meditate that God loves you. I want to stress and emphasize how much he loves you. To what extent? How much does John 3:16 really mean to you, to us, when we hear it, when we read it? What was the value of his son to be put on the cross for humanity? See, Jonah is the book that presents, I am the God of all mankind, and all mankind will be judged. The Ninevites needed to know that judgment was coming. Their actions were not right. I want you to ponder on your life. I want you to meditate. How are your actions? What are your words? You know that Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 36, that every word that comes out of our mouth, that it's vainly or of unprofit, we will be judged. When Jesus comes, whatever we said, whatever we did, is going to put into, Jesus is going to put those actions and those deeds and those words and say, in this case, Roger, take it personal. Put your name on there. You will be judged by what you did and what you said. It doesn't matter what your spouse did. It doesn't matter what your children did. It doesn't matter what your parents did. It matters what you decided to do. That's why when you read this book, you find that the message is straightforward. God does not beat around the bush. God tells you so that you and I can have full conscience of this. That if we keep going in the opposite direction, in a sinful state, we will be destroyed. We will be judged. There is no, well, maybe, I hope so. God gives you everything so that you can prepare, so that you can know without a doubt of what's going to happen. There is no schemes here. There is no lies here. God is pure. There is no evil in him. And so when we find the message, when we find the words, when we find God speaking over and over and telling us through the book of Jonah, he tells us that there's always a problem with mankind, and that problem is sin. And the reason sin comes into our lives is because we lust something. We lust that which we should not do. You know, sometimes I ponder on how hard dieting is. Have you ever pondered on that? When you go into a diet, how hard it is to not eat that food that will affect you? And you willingly know that it will affect you because your body is already telling you. Your doctor is letting you know your cholesterol is too high, your blood pressure is too high, your sugar levels are too high. You got to do something about it. You got to change your lifestyle. And yet we decide, just give me something to patch it up so I can keep going. I don't want to give up this. Well, eventually these things are going to take your life. Think about sin. That's how it is. Sin is going to affect your life in a way that you're not going to think it's going to really affect you until you're not here anymore. You know, there's a person in the Bible that God tells us, and through this example, he teaches us that we need to pay attention to his word, pay attention to his warnings, because he loves you. You know, as we read and as we see in Luke chapter 16, we find about this individual that when he lived his life here on earth, he took pleasure of what he could. He probably had enough money to do whatever he wanted. He probably ate and he probably partied and he probably decided to do everything he wanted and put his heart to do it. But then a time came, whether he paid attention to God's word or not, whether he heard someone talking to him and he said, I don't want to hear this right now. The time came when he died. And the scripture tells us that in Luke chapter 16, verse 23, he says, verse 22 to get the context. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man died also and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus and in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his fingers in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you receive your good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil thing. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. I want you to think that when you look at the book of Jonah, if it wasn't for the king and the people to look and paid attention to the message and afflict themselves and said, we're not worthy, if God extends his mercy towards them because they repented. You find here an individual that was said and told and warned over and over, maybe in his lifetime. And yet he waited too long. You know, they say that timing is everything. Maybe in your lifetime you've heard the message over and over. Maybe you have connected many times to this ministry. Maybe you heard many speakers speak on the gospel and teach on what you need to do. What are you going to do with God's message tonight? I want to challenge you. I want to persuade you that you meditate, that you examine, that you look. And as we read these verses on Luke 16, verse 22 and on, and we heard the voice of this individual crying out in torment. Later on, he says, Father Abraham, send someone from here to speak to my loved ones so that they don't come to this place. Abraham said, Moses and the prophets they have, obey them. See, God has put everything forth. His word is already spoken. Jesus said, whoever rejects my words, ask that will judge him. The words I have spoken will judge him on the later day. God is extending his love towards you. God wants you to take heed of his message. Just as the Ninevites, with an afflicted heart, they cried out to God. And God wants you to do the same. Now, through Christ, you can approach the Father if you're willing to confess him before men, to acknowledge his deity, to acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. And ask, you must ask to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. For it is in the water that one is cleansed and purified. Now, this element is not new. Maybe you're thinking, wait a minute, no, this element's not new. You go back in Leviticus chapter 8 and you read verses 1 through 6 or 8, and you would read that Moses takes Aaron, takes his sons, and they're going to be put forward to the priesthood. But before they wear the priestly robes, before they go into God's service, they need to be cleansed with water. Before the congregation, they need to be stripped away from their clothing so that they may be cleansed and then put on the priestly robes so that now they can serve God. This is what God wants from you. If you're willing, we are here to help you. We want you to be saved. Jesus said, he who believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. Just in that sense, understanding that if you believe, you will ask, and if you ask, you shall receive, and you will be saved. Ask for the baptism, to be washed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. And God promises you, which he does not lie. Over and over in the scriptures, we find 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 29. Samuel has to remind this to Saul. We find this in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Moses has to remind the people that God does not lie. What he promises, he will fulfill. If you're willing to ask, to repent, to confess Jesus, and to be asked to be washed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, to be baptized, immersed in Christ, you will be saved. I thank you for your time, and I hope you can reach out to us. We are here to help you in these matters. Thank you for your time.